Well, tonight, we're going to be again in 1 Peter 5, as we were last week, and began looking at the armor of God and looking at how we're to be on guard in the Christian life, and you know that, but just a little bit of a refresher course here on being on guard. We went through last week and looked at the armor of God and how we're to be on guard, and you know 1 Peter 5 in particular, verse number 8, again he says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, he's seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And again, it's a comfort to know that the brethren around us are going through trials as well. One thing the adversary loves to do is to get and seclude the Christian and get him alone and tell him, you're the only one going through this problem. You're the only one going through this issue. You're the only one, you're the only church that has these problems. Boy, there's something wrong with your church. Man, you're the only marriage that fights regularly. There's something wrong with your marriage. There's something wrong with your finances. You can never get ahead. You can never get on top. We all feel that way, don't we? And that's what he does. He likes to seclude us. And that's what an adversary, a lion does, doesn't he? You ever seen that? A group or a pack of, especially the lionesses, they'll come and they'll seclude one little antelope or one little deer or whatever it is. And they'll get them alone and then they'll attack and they'll kill that thing. And as the Bible is clear, devour us. Doesn't he like to do that? So again, when you come back to the Bible, your time in the Bible is very precious and it ought to be to you. Your time alone with God in prayer ought to be very precious. And you take time for that. Why? You're getting refreshed and you're saying, hey, you know, the adversary has been lying to me. I'm not the only one going through these issues. I'm not the only one dealing with these problems with the kids. There's other people. And that's what he says. Be steadfast, knowing that there's afflictions with your brethren around you in the world. Now, as we looked at last week, we started out and I said we ought to be on guard. Be on guard, for we have a great adversary. We're to be sober. We looked at that. Avoid a drunkenness of your senses, a drunkenness of your souls. Can I encourage you to take time to minister to your soul? We often do that. We'll take time to minister maybe to our bodies. Don't eat this and make sure we exercise, make sure we walk and ride our bike or whatever the case is. But minister to your soul. Your soul is eternal. Don't forget that. Okay, minister. That means spending time refreshing your soul, getting renewed daily. However you do that, and I pray it's through the Word of God, through other written material that would be an encouragement to you spiritually. Avoid, he says, be sober. Be filled with the Spirit. You know he says that later, or earlier, excuse me, book of Ephesians. Be of a sound mind. Have your soul that is clear and sober. Your intellect, emotions, and will ought to be cleared and sober. Again, coming back to that's the Word of God that does that. Be vigilant, he says secondly. Awake, keep awake. Be watchful. Be on guard. Never let your guard down. More times than not, I'd like to admit, the times that I messed up, stumbled, or tripped up spiritually is when I put my guard down, isn't it? It'll be fine if I go there. It'll be okay if I hang out with it. It'll be fine if I listen to that or watch that. No, every single time I was not vigilant and not sober, I faltered and stumbled. We must be careful. The adversary attacks us when and where we're the most susceptible, where the weakest. As we looked at last week with the armor, we have the armor on, but if we're not careful, he will try and penetrate in certain areas and all of that, we know. We see that. Be alert. We know that. Our adversary, a roaring lion. We won't go through all of that we did last week, but he's walking about. He's actively seeking whom he may devour. Again, to devour, to literally kill, consume, and digest. Boy, that's a very nasty thought. But that's what he's trying to do. He says, whom resist steadfast. Now, we saw that in James 4. In verse 7, he says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Again, encouraging you with that. Submit yourself to God. You're going through a spiritual attack. I've been through a spiritual attack this week. I know some of you have as well. It just comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? You just have this attack. And you go, I don't know why I have these thoughts. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I'm being attacked by people around me, whatever the case is. And you ought to come and say, Lord, I submit myself to you, and devil, I resist you. And the Bible's very clear that he will flee from you. So submission to God, number one. How do we be on guard? Submission to God. Number two, we walk circumspectly. Again, you know that. circumspectly, circular, circumvent, all of that. A 360 degree view of our life. You've seen those horses go down the road. Have you seen them in a parade? They have the blinders on. Seen that? They do that for a reason. Because the horses look to the side, they see something over here. They're going to get distracted and they'll throw a whole fit and a mess. Those of you that have dealt with horses before, you know, they got the blind. They focus. Now for us, we have a 360 degree view. We are aware of what's going on. We don't have blinders on. Now, we're aware of those things that are happening. We look over here, okay, oh, I got a little issue over here, or I'm not doing too good in my walk here. I'm not spending enough time like I should be with the Lord. I know that. I failed this week in my prayer time, and I wonder why I don't feel very good spiritually. We got to be aware of those things. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. So submit to God, walk circumspectly. Thirdly, we said, put on the armor of God. Now, I won't go through detail with that. We went through it last week, but as we read, and Miss Abigail, you read for us so wonderfully. Thank you for that last week. But we put on the armor of God, don't we? All of it has a purpose. Every single part of it has a specific purpose. All of it. We know that. We have everything that we need clearly in Scripture, as we said, to both be victorious and to defeat our adversary. More Christians walk around depressed, angry, defeated all the time, don't they? They don't have the victory. They don't have the joy of the Lord in their lives. Why? I believe directly, and we know it's because they're not aware of the adversarial attack. They don't see it. Well, I guess I'll just do this. They have no discernment. You ever know people have no discernment? I guess I'm going to go over there this week. You're thinking, that's probably not a good idea. I think I'll go ahead and go there. We were talking with a fella last week. He was on the job site, and he said, well, I'm going to take a trip over here. It's like an 8-hour trip, right? And his car was not doing good. I'll put it that way. You know, his car wasn't very good. And we were thinking to ourselves, like, that's probably not a good idea, you know? And sure enough, they had problems on that trip. You think about, some people just don't have that kind of discernment about them, and it comes directly back. Proverbs says, a man gains discernment. And then he says later in Hebrews 4, directly through the Word of God. We must choose the truth. We know that. Loins girt about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. We must take the righteousness God has given us. The shoes of peace. We proclaim the gospel. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. We have a clear knowledge of our salvation. We know that we're saved. And then the sword of the Spirit, our weapon that we use. We have to be sharpening our weapon. Satan, we know, will try and defeat us. You must defeat him. Okay? Now, a couple things here. Moving on to secondly, I have here, in our walk and being on guard, we can become a casualty. Now notice, go with me to 1 Corinthians 9, if you will. Go back there, 1 Corinthians 9. And in 1 Corinthians 9, we're going to see, Paul writes and says that we can become a casualty. Excuse me. A casualty. Now, as we read this a few weeks ago, notice verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9, 25, every man that striveth for the mastery, he says, is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. There it is, control. Lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, that word castaway literally means disapproved for service. Now, Paul's speaking primarily, you know, as the apostle, but he is speaking to all of us. We can be disapproved for service, can't we? A casualty of war. Now, you know, in war, as we fight this enemy, there's going to be casualties. Every war has had casualties. Everyone. And as we think about that, we must be aware that there are people around us that have become casualties, and we ought to seek, as you know, not to be one, obviously. Now, in order to best accomplish our mission God's given to us, we must have a rigid self-discipline. It's required. Paul said, I therefore so run, not uncertainly, not one that beateth the air, keep under my body, bring it into subjection. These are all words he's using, saying, I'm in control. I have control over myself, over my body, over my mind, my spirit. Self-discipline is very important. But we must keep in mind that self-discipline without self-denial will set us up for failure, doesn't it? I'm self-disciplined, but for what reason? For myself? No. Self-discipline, self-denial, it's all for Christ. I'm denying self, and I'm disciplined for Him. We will not win the prize, as you know, if we are not where we're supposed to be. We can become a casualty. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. There's war raging around us. We already saw that last week. He said, be sober, vigilant. We have an adversary. He says later in 2 Timothy, beware of that you're in a warfare, and that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So Satan seeks to get us to the place of being a castaway, disapproved for service. Disapproved. Paul says, I will not run the race and be disapproved. Now, we can become casualties. Notice that. 1 Peter 5:8, as he shows us that. What causes a casualty? Number one, let me say, refusing to grow because of the lust in our lives. Now, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, notice 1 Corinthians 3 here. As we go back here, 1 Corinthians 3, you know, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? Walk as men. One saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Notice verse 7, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So again, refusing to grow, and he cautioned the church there at Corinth, didn't he? You need to be aware of that. You're not growing, and that's something that's wrong. They go, well, what's wrong with that? I'm just taking it easy. There's a caution to us. Refusing to give the Lord rightful place in our lives. That's what they did at Corinth. They were desiring to be something special, and they weren't. They were trusting their own ways, trusting their own lives. Refusing to engage the enemy. Acts 13, listen to verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now you know that John Mark left. He went back to Jerusalem because of the problems and the heartaches of ministry and all of that. Now later Paul, you know, he says what? I call John to come back. He's profitable to me for the ministry. But we can refuse to engage the enemy. It's not a walk in the park. It's not easy. You know the numbers of the casualties of wars, I'm sure, especially in our American history. Millions of lives have been lost. For us to sit here tonight, we know that. But casualties come with war. Always do. And I read something, I don't know how accurate it is, but in the especially combat regiments of particularly the Marine Corps and other things, they prepare the men right up front in boot camp. You may die. We're going to tell you that right up front. And they don't say it that nicely, but you're probably, you know, you're enlisted. You've joined, I should say. You've willingly joined, and you could die. That's the casualty. That's the result of war. There's something called collateral damage. There's other terms the military uses called clear and present danger. We know that. It's clear. It's present. It's right here. They're not going to attack us next week. It's right on our doorstep. And that's what they use, and we ought to be aware of that. The adversary is working to destroy us. Now, refusing to grow, refusing to give God rightful place, refusing to engage the enemy. Let me say, fourthly, to refuse to submit to the leader in that regard. You know that, Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas, he says, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city. We have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with him John. You know that, surnamed Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them, from Pamphylia. And went now with him to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. There's a contention there, division. And some people say, as I believe personally, that they should have submitted, or especially Silas should have submitted to Paul and said, we're going to do it that way. Paul was obviously the man of God there in certain areas. But you think about it, we ought to be trusting the leadership, if you will, that God has given. And he says not to grow. If you're not growing, if you're not enhancing, if you're not moving forward in the spiritual walk. Just talking about here, we can become casualties in this war. Let me say here, number two, carelessness, a lack of self-discipline. We can become lazy in the things of God. Let me caution you again, don't become lazy in your walk with God. Don't do it. Don't become lazy. Don't allow yourself to get apathetic and lazy in the things of God. Take time. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot on your plate, way more than I do. I know that. You do things. You get more accomplished in a day than I do in a week, okay? No. But don't let it falter away. Don't let it get out of control with your walk with the Lord. Don't allow that. Your time with God, right? Your time with Him. Be very careful about that. Make it a priority. This is my time. It's precious to me. This is my time. Don't let any interruptions, other things come in. Failure to put on the armor of God, we said. Thirdly, listening to false teaching that lulls us to sleep. False teaching. Teaching or preaching that you listen to that has no effect, there's no conviction. Be careful about that. Romans 16, he says, I beseech you, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Avoid them, ignoring the truth that could protect us and not guarding our hearts. Now, you know, keep your heart, keep your faith. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, we see casualties. Now, what happens to these casualties? Let me just say a couple things quickly. Some are lost to the work of the Lord. Some are lost. Now, you know, 2 Timothy 4:9, he says what? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed. He's truly departed. And so as we think about, we're being very careful with that some depart, some are lost, but also some are restored. You think about Simon Peter, you think about John Mark. Again, 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And I really like that, because in the beginning we think, boy, Paul was so harsh, right? With, geez, I mean, he was just a young man, John Mark, and well, he's having a hard time. He's homesick. And Paul later says, bring him. He's profitable. I see his growth. I see that he hasn't quit. I see as he's been home in Jerusalem, he's grown and he's matured. Some casualties, they're lost to the world. Demas never came back, according, we don't know, Bible doesn't say. Demas never came back, but we are and can be restored. Now, let me say here quickly, we're not alone in the battle. We're not alone. We're not. Angels are protecting us. You know that Hebrews 1, he says, we see that, and again in chapter 2 as well. Come past so great a cloud of witness. 2 Kings 6 and verse 15 goes through some of that as well. We have God protecting us. Angels are protecting us. God's protecting us. Other Christians are with us. They're with us. As we saw in 1 Peter 5:9, same are, afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, that are in the world. And thinking through that, when you spend time alone with God and walk with Him and stay focused on Him, you're getting recharged every day, aren't you, for the battle? You're saying, okay, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. You ever had your cell phone? Right when you needed it, it's dead. You thumb through Facebook all day long and it's fully charged. You know, then you have something important you got to do or something. Oh, it's dead. It's dead. And you think about, we got to recharge our batteries daily, daily. And saying, God, I desire to be with you. I want to. And by the way, the more time, you folks know this already, but the more time you spend with God and in His Word, the more time you want to be with God, the more time you want to read the Bible, spend time studying and praying and all of that. We're trying to develop right now in our children. They're still very young, but develop in them a habit of getting up, spending time in the Bible. And they can't read. The older one too can read, but the younger ones. And so we take the Bible app on our phone and we turn it on and we play it for them. Just trying to get them in a habit from a very young age to get established in a daily routine of a devotion. Just thinking about, we ought to get into that habit. Now, we're not alone in the battle. God is there with us. He's helping us. God's power and presence are truly with us. He's with us. Now, 1 John chapter 4, let me turn there. 1 John 4, and I love these verses here. 1 John 4, notice what he says there, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, notice this, that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Notice verse 4, though ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So clearly he's giving some division there. He's giving some delineation of the true worshipers of God, the true children of God, and those that are antichrist, those that are against. They're false. They're fake. But notice he says, greater is he that in you than he that's in the world. God's power and presence is with all the time, isn't he? If you're truly a child of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to learn to practice what's called the presence of God. You may have read that book before. The presence of God. Are we practicing? He's constantly with us. And if he is, we act a different way. We talk a different way and all of that. He's with us. The Father is with us. Romans 8:31. The Lord Jesus is with us. Matthew 28:20. The Holy Spirit, you know, is with us. John 14:16. They're all three with us, and we have that comfort. And thirdly, let me say, we can have the victory. The victory. Now, as he later will say in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's current. Right now, present tense. The victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We have the victory, the triumph in Christ. Christ has already defeated Satan. Now we know that. Now turn back to chapter 3 of 1 John. Notice 1 John 3. Let me see here. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even he is righteous as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Notice, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Wonderful verse to memorize, underline, and study. We know Christ has already defeated Satan. Already. He's taken care of that. We fight a defeated foe. We truly do. I mean, it's like trying to box a guy with one arm behind his back. You have the advantage. I mean, he may still be able to whoop you, I don't know, but he's got one arm behind his back. Man, you're going to take advantage of that. And you and I ought to take advantage of that. We have a defeated foe, but Satan tries to get into our minds and tries to tell us what? You're already defeated. You can't do it. Just give up and quit now. It's not working. It's not working out. It's not going to happen. Christ defeated our adversary. We turn to Christ. That's what we come back to. Submit to God, resist the devil. We can run the race with patience. Hebrews 12:1. He says again, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Key thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we see here, keep going. We can run the race. Look to Jesus. Look at his example. Look at his person. Look at his words. All of that. We're to look to him. It says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Endured. We ought to endure some things. Endure for Christ's sake. And coming back to that. And then it later says, the next verses, you know, consider him. Consider him. Take advantage of that. Look and think about daily what Christ's done for you, what he's done for me. Okay, let me wrap it up here. We see here then, lastly, we can win not only the race, we can win the crown. Now we know that. As we saw about 3 weeks ago or so, we can win the crown. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. We do it. We, and an incorruptible. Incorruptible. As we think about people today, they're looking for victory. They're looking for victory in financial pursuits. They're looking for victory with physical relationships. They're looking for victory in so many other ways, aren't they? We have the victory. The victory. So you and I, if we're not careful, can become a casualty of war. And Paul says, I do not do these things just for nothing, for naught. I do them so that I can be victorious. I already have the victory in Christ. But I'm not doing it so I'll be a disapproved for service. I must run the race properly. I must keep going. The casualties all around us. Now this applies to all of us. It applies specifically, as you know, as Paul speaking to of himself as a pastor or of a mission as an evangelist, all those words we could use, but it's used to point to us as well. We've been given this. Now, in order to accomplish the task, we must again, as I said, have self-discipline. But self-discipline without self-denial brings, can I say, self-destruction? I don't know. I like that. Self-destruction. We have to have it. Self-denial for what? Me? No, for him. Self-discipline with self-denial. I'm denying self. Now, are you where you're supposed to be? Am I where I'm supposed to be? I hope you are tonight. I hope I would help you in some way with these verses. But we're in a war. We're in a battle. Active battle. It's not something old. It's not something grandma talked about. No, we're in a battle right now. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm in a battle. Maybe you're not doing anything significant for the Lord. You're working for God. If you're living for God on the job site, you're living for God at work, you're living for God around your family and friends that are unsaved, you're going to know there's a battle. You're going to know there's a spiritual warfare. When you get up and spend that time that you could be doing other things, but you spend it with Christ in his word and in prayer, you put aside that entertainment and you spend time with Christ, you're going to realize the battle, aren't you? You're going to know it. It's there. It's a clear and present danger for all of us that are walking and living for Christ. Now, don't become a casualty. You know what to do. You have the victory, and you can be successful. We have the triumphant in Christ. All right? Amen. Lord, thank you again for an opportunity tonight to share your word. I do thank you for these dear, precious people that are so faithful. I pray you'd help us, Father. None of us are exempt from falling and being susceptible to becoming a casualty. We don't want to fall off, Lord, and be out of the race. We want to stay faithful to you. The only way we can do that is to spend time with you and be diligent and make it a point and be serious about our time with you, that we could be recharged, we could gain what we need, we can daily put on the armor of God. And Father, I pray you'd help us to be sober and vigilant. And we love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you again for what you're doing. Bless us now the rest of the week. Keep us safe. Bring us back Sunday if you'd allow it. In Jesus' precious name, again, amen and amen. Thank you.